everybody. I'm an addict named Anthony. Hi, everybody. It's a blessing to be in the meeting today. And like Jane, I'd like to thank the Chesapeake and Potomac region for taking a risk. Okay. I'm an addict named Anthony. Can you hear me now? Great. I'd like to thank the Chesapeake and Potomac region for taking a risk and asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. And Lynn for suckering me into this topic. What she gave me was, I never thought it could be this good. To let y'all know that ever since I had this topic, I have been trying to figure out what I'm supposed to share about. I never thought it would be this good. And there are a lot of things that have happened in my journey since being here, but over the course of this year, last year I was down here at the convention because I've been involved. I'm from D.C. area. I'm part of D.C. area. And I've been involved with the convention for a number of years. And last year when I left the convention, I went back to Washington and was terminated from my job. So I have not had a job for the last year. And so when I got this topic, I was like, shit. For a whole year, ain't shit been going good in my life. And you want me to talk about, I never thought it'd be this good. I put in resumes. I've got a good, I speak well. I write well. I wrote for my job. So, I put in resumes. I put out, applications, and I get back, well, thank you, Mr. White. We appreciate you applying for the job, but, so the things that I've had to go through is like going from having a job that met my needs and my wants to now living at a place where I live on existence day to day, just trying to make sure that I survive. And what I've had to do, and this is my story, and what I've had to do is the things that I heard when I got here in 1993 that I thought were funny and corny, like easy does it, keep it simple, and act as if, have become a part of a reality for me. That to the point that what I've had to do is, on days when I have not felt the presence of a high power, or the days that I felt like that I should be running out in traffic against the traffic, what I've had to do is act as if and understand that I've got a third step that works real well. And what I've had to do is grab a hold of that third step and really just surrender, even in spite of how I feel, and know that the God that I've come to understand is working everything out. So, I never thought it'd be this good, in spite of how I feel. And that's the stuff that I've had to take a look at. My clean date is December 6, 1993. My first introduction to Narcotics Anonymous was in June of 1983. I came to one meeting in 1983 because I was sent by the court system. I was 31 years old, and I thought y'all were crazy. I sat through the meeting, and I left, and in my head, all I kept saying was, just hurry up and sign the piece of paper. Please hurry up and sign the piece of paper. I ain't belong, because I still had my car. Hadn't gotten that bad. I was a white-collar worker. I was a white-collar dope fiend. So I left that meeting, and I went back across. Anybody who knows about Washington, D.C., I went back across Southeast to Martin Luther King Avenue, Hyde Road, and the next 10 years, I got stuck in a 4-block radius, you know. So by the time I hit bottom, and I'm grateful for hitting the bottom today, you know, I ain't hit a whole lot of bottoms. I hit one, you know, and that one was enough that when I had a whole lot of stuff on the table one night, and it no longer began to work for me, what I did was I just said that there's got to be a better way. And I ended up in Narcotics Anonymous. Well, I didn't end up in Narcotics Anonymous. I went to treatment, you know. And how I got to treatment was the fact that I had lost everything between 1983 and 1993. The car was gone. The marriage was gone. The wife had gone. My job, the director of the job had said to me, just tell me where my car is, but don't come back. You know? Just tell me where the car is. You know, and what was happening was the police were putting on gloves and kicking my feet and telling me, dude, you need to move. And what I'm talking about was being reduced to an animalistic state that where living on the street had become a way of life for me because it was more important for me to get one more, you know. And my total existence was all about finding ways and means, you know, just to fit a feeling. You know, and I've come to realize that all I kept doing was trying to chase the first high because I never got back to that. You know, I kept running around in circles trying to get the first one, you know. So when I got into treatment in 1993, you know, I didn't come in here to stay, you know. All I did was I just wanted to clear up my thinking because I knew that that was wrong. There was something wrong with the way I thought. And if I could get that process together, I could go back and continue to do what I knew how to do best, you know. But what I heard when I got to treatment was just give yourself a chance, you know. I was set in the treatment facility, and they had check-ins, and they'd go around and ask people how you were doing and how you felt. And I would tell them, you know I'm a drunk, but shooting dope and smoking crack is my recreation, and y'all need to leave me alone. You know? And they would just tell me, you just stay here. Keep coming. You know? Don't go nowhere. You just stay here, you know? And I'm grateful for that, you know? And the kicker is, y'all, is that I believe in our process, and I believe in our steps, and I believe in our literature and everything, and when it talks about don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle, I'm so happy that even in spite of not understanding what y'all were saying to me, I had enough fear and enough clarity in the midst of the cloud to know that I didn't want to go back to where I had come from. Didn't know where I was going. Scared to death of y'all, but I was willing to do something different, you know. So I stayed, you know, and y'all told me to do some simple things was go to meetings while I was in a treatment facility, so they was taking me. And I'm not an advocate of treatment. I'm one of those people, because I believe today, 17 years later, that when you hit your bottom or that moment of surrender for the addict, you can come to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Sit down and surrender. I just happened to be one of those that needed to be taken off the street because I was a nuisance. I was in the way. You know? So I needed to be put someplace, you know, so I could, you know, get myself together. And that's what happened for me, you know. So, you know, the blessing is that I went through treatment, and I got a healthy fear. And y'all just told me some simple things. Just go to meetings, pray. Get a sponsor, you know, and don't pick up, you know. And I struggle with some of those things, you know, because by the time I got here in 93, I was 41 years old, you know. I was grown, you know. I'm an adult, you know. I could think for my own self, you know. How could you tell me that I need a sponsor, you know? I'm going to meetings because that's part of the regimen that the treatment facility wants me to do. Okay. And y'all kept saying pray. And what it took me a long time to tap into was the fact that I struggled with prayer only because I'm the oldest of four and I was raised in Pentecost. Okay.
If you don't understand, I was born, raised in the Church of God in Christ. And I know this is not a religious program, but I need to tell y'all where I came from so you understand my struggle with a God concept, you know, with the fact that when I got here and y'all kept talking about all of that, I could not get with that one because what did he do for me? You know, I sang on the choir, ushered on the usher board, taught Sunday school, and shot dope. Okay? So that's what you need to understand. You know, when service was going on and I was and saw me in my shades, you need to understand I could either be in a nod, you know, yeah, you know, or I had just hit one. You know. So when I got in, y'all kept talking about God, you know, and I was like, that's not for me. You know, but I'm so grateful for the second step that, and Jane alluded to it, where it talks about the coincidences and miracles. And, you know, the things that began to happen to me in my first 90 days, 120 days, were things that I never thought would happen for me. You know, and I shared all the time was that the fact that I was in treatment, they told me that I needed to find a job, and they sent me and a person on a on an interview. The young person had a resume. I didn't have one. Well, because between that time, there's jails and institutions in my story. I caught my first charge, you know, so I had a record. Yeah. I had, my numbers can still be activated, so I still know my numbers. Yeah. And I still have my ID as a reference, you know. So, when I went to fill out the job, the application, you know, where they ask you all these questions about, have you ever been convicted of a felony? Have you ever been, you know, I was like, yes. You know, have you ever been terminated from a job? Yes. You know, what's the reason? Drugs and alcohol. Well, you know, that one question that says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? I had to stop and think. Now, am I going to answer that? You know, and for the first time, I did something that that went against the grain. Because I'd heard what you all were saying. Y'all kept saying in meetings, tell the truth. Yeah. So what I did was, okay, they said tell the truth, I'm going to tell the truth. And that's what I did. I checked the box, yes, you know, and went on. And had the interview, and by the time we got back to the facility, the lady who had interviewed us had called and offered me the job. I went to that job as a part-time telephone operator, and I moved from being a part-time telephone operator to being an administrative assistant. And a couple of years later, I was hired permanently as a coordinator in a university in Washington, D.C. So for the next 17 years, I worked for a major university as a program coordinator, you know. And I'm just talking about the coincidences and miracles that took place in my first 30, 60, 90, 120 days to help me see that if you just stay here, what'll happen? Because I needed to have some proof that this program would work. Didn't matter that y'all was coming to meetings and talking about that y'all were losing jobs and losing loved ones, and I ain't used. That didn't matter to me. What I needed was something concrete for me to see that this program would work, you know. And those were the things that happened for me. So for the next 17 years, I watched the Creator just bless my life, you know, and I got involved with this program. Y'all said get a sponsor. I got a sponsor. Y'all said work the steps. I begrudgingly began to work the steps, you know. Y'all said get in service, and that's the thing that has been real pivotal for me for the last 17 years. Y'all said if you want to stay clean, get in service. Okay, and that's what I did. You know, I got a sponsor. The guy that sponsored me my first 10 years in this fellowship passed away in 2003, and that was the most hardest thing for me to go through because that was the first guy in my life that I had allowed to get that close to me because, as I said, I'm the oldest of four. I was raised in Washington, D.C. I'm 59 years old. I've never known my father. So I struggled with relationships with men. I didn't know how to hug people because that was not a way for me. My relationships with men were business propositions. It was business, you know. In the end, it was anybody. So, you know, so I didn't know what to do. You know, so when this guy out of the blue in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous told me that I'm your sponsor, and he began to guide me, because that's how it happened for me, because I wasn't going to ask one of y'all to sponsor me. I really wasn't. You know, like I said, I was 41 years old. I didn't need that, you know. But this guy, every time, and the beauty of it is that what happened was, I remember in the group that I got clean in, we were sitting in a business meeting, and they needed a coffee maker. And the dude said, "That's your coffee maker." And I'm sitting there, I ain't raising my hand. I ain't trying to do this. You know? And he said to me, he said, "You need to, I'll meet with you after the meeting, and I'm going to tell you where the coffee pot is and how to set it up, and you need to be here da-da-da time to make sure that the coffee is ready for the meeting." Okay, so I did it, you know. A year later, we're sitting in a group business meeting, same dude now. They need a secretary, and he leaned over to me and he said, "It's time for you to let go of the coffee pot. Y'all, this is the secretary." Yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm not trying to hug y'all. You know? And finally, what the guy said to me, he 2 years had gone by at this point, and finally I asked him, you know, "Hey, you know, I need to talk to you for a few minutes." And this went on for 2 years, you know, "Can I talk to you for a few minutes?" You know, and every time he would say to me, "Yeah, okay, let's go talk," then I changed my mind. You know, so finally one evening he cornered me and I finally said, "You know, can I get you to sponsor me?" Yeah, and he said, "Man, I've been sponsoring you the whole time." Yeah. And that guy took me on a journey, you know, that was awesome for me, because that was the first guy that I can honestly say that at the lowest points of my life, even when my life was good, that Greg hugged me and embraced me. And that's why I share with the men and women that I sponsor today that I don't understand this lean in and shoulder thing. I don't get that. You know, I don't understand that, you know, because here was a straight guy who walked into my existence and into my space and embraced me and hugged me and held on to me and allowed me to feel some real emotions and break down and cry. You know, and like I said, in 2003, he passed away just as D.C. area was beginning to do CPRC 17, and that was the most devastating time in my life. You know, even though I had lost, you know, my siblings, my parents, and everything, you know, but to have somebody that nurtured me in my spirit, because that's what I needed at the time, was somebody to nurture a broken soul and put it back together, you know, and that's what this guy did for me, you know. Got a sponsor today, and I'm talking about, I never thought it could be this good. Because, see, my whole thought process tells me, you know, you need to be shooting dope. Yeah. Life sucks. You know, you aging, you ain't got a job, you ain't got no health insurance, you know, you're struggling to try to make ends meet. You need to be shooting dope. Yeah. You know, but I'm so grateful for the foundation through the 12 steps and our traditions, that my first inkling was not so much about staying in the bathroom and closing the door. It was about, okay, you need to get up because you're still sponsoring people. You need to still show up when the folk that you sponsor call. You know, and not so much just show up and when they say to me, How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. No, tell them the truth. This is the shit that's going on with me. I feel like running out in traffic today. You know? And that's the blessing of being able to stay here and get honest with myself. And what I'm talking about, y'all, in spite of all that's going on, you know, I ain't missed a beat because of this program. You know, my life is more rich today without a job. I'm not advocating that lose your job and, you know, or walk away from your job. I'm just talking about the fact that what I've had, there's sometimes that circumstances and situations take place, and if you're hard-headed like me, my Creator had to take the job away in order for me to get in touch with the fact that I needed to put Him first and not put the job, my house, the money I was making, shopping at Nordstrom's, looking good for y'all in front of Him. What I've come to realize is that there's something I'm supposed to learn through this. And through the struggle, I'm just surrendering. And as I surrender, it's just getting better because there's more peace. You know, and that's what's happening for me. You know, the blessing is that, you know, I just never thought when I got here, I never thought that my life would be where it is today. Because where I come from, everybody's shot, everybody used. Good day, bad day, rainy days, you know, weddings, funerals, everybody got high, you know. But the blessing is what I got is a foundation that tells me that in spite of what's going on, I don't have to use. And that's a great freedom. And that's what I always tell the newcomers and I tell the guys that I sponsor. You know, one of the things that I'm so grateful for is that I just got some reference points that I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I just put one foot in front of the other, the God that I've come to understand is going to hold on to me, you know. I just need to stand the test and go through, you know. Still go to meetings and raise my hand when shit is going on and tell y'all this is what's happening. Not raise my hand and just share, you know, if it's on the 12-step, share about the 12-step. Yes, I can share about the 12-step, but I need to tell y'all that I'm fucked up today, y'all. Okay? You know, that this is what's happening. This is where I am. You know, I don't feel like being here with y'all, you know? But, and that's the beauty of understanding that what my fourth and fifth step is about, you know, is that the fact that I'm in touch with my emotions and my feelings, that I can come in here and share me with y'all because I still need some help, you know. I ain't one of those that just because I got some clean time that y'all don't need to understand that I hurt. My biggest struggle, you know, and that's what I'm talking about, understanding that the Creator is just moving stuff away. And that's what my first sponsor used to say to me. There were some things that took place before he passed away that he used to say to me, you hard-headed, so what the Creator has to do is take those things away from you for you to understand that he's in charge. I remember I was living in an apartment and he kept saying to me, you need to move. Now he said it to me and I kept saying, I like where I live. You know, I can look out on the strip and watch folk cop. You know, I could watch and see what was the action and stuff. And he would say to me, you need to move. And one day I had gone to a meeting, and when I came back, the house had gotten broken into. He said, okay, what you going to do now? Yeah. So I moved, you know. Okay. So those are the things that I'm talking about that the Creator will do to get my attention, you know. Like I told him, I said, I've come, you know, since I've been here, I understand that I honestly believe that my high power said one day, let me go get this fool. Let me just go get him, you know. And I'm so grateful for those kind of things that have taken place in my life in order for me to understand that, you know, life does get better, you know. I've got choices today. I can either stay on the pity pot or come in here and go through and grow in grace and peace and humility. And that's what I have. I got a lot of peace on the inside in spite of all the chaos that's going on outside, you know. And all I'm doing is still just telling the Creator whatever your will is. You know, my prayers today are not long like they were when my first 5, 10 years. You know, I was praying for a whole lot of wants and a whole lot of things that I might have needed. Yeah. But today my prayer is, okay, God, whatever your will is. Yeah. Whatever your will is. And I just back away from it and I just get up and keep moving, you know. And those are the things, you know, that lets me know that, you know, if I stay here with y'all, it's just going to get better. It is going to get better. I mean, economics sucks. Aging sucks, you know. But the kicker is that I never had it this good, you know, since getting here. You know, I've got friends, you know. The one other thing that I wanted to talk about, you know, sometimes my mind just skips and I forget what I'm getting ready to say. And one of the things that I want to talk about is the fact that I've had to learn through the course of this year and a half of how to ask for help. And I have the ability, I have the skills to ask for help because I delegate sometimes, you know, to get help. But my struggle has been accepting the help when it comes and where it's coming from. Because I want to pick and choose who's going to give it to me. So what my Creator through this process has done is said, okay, you without. Okay? So when folk offer, you need to be able to say, yes. When they say, can I help you? Yes. Yeah? And not be arrogant about it. You know? And that's what has happened for me. You know, I believe in our process. The third step tells, I used to scream and holler. Today I just surrender quietly. It talks about surrender quietly. And let the God of our understanding take care of me. Yeah. And that's what I do. I just surrender quietly. You know. And I just know without a shadow of a doubt. Because I've got some proof. I haven't missed. My rent has been paid every month since May of last year. My refrigerator has been full of food since May of last year on unemployment and a part-time job. And I've been blessed to get some things. I got a part-time job, and it took me through sponsorship. The guys that I sponsor helped me deal with calling a part-time job the job and not that place. Okay? Yeah. The guys that I sponsor. And what they would tell me was that it could be worse. And, you know, because, see, all I could see was the fact that, you know, it wasn't what I had and it wasn't what I wanted, you know. But it's what God has given me because it's what I need right now in the moment. Yeah. So that's what lets me know that I never thought it would be this good just trusting in the process. And that's what it's all about. It's just about trusting in the process and knowing that when I get out the way, things will work itself out. You know, I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful for having a place to come and know that if I just come in here and tell y'all the truth and tell y'all that this is what's going on with me, y'all know what's happening. Y'all, I don't care what other people might do with what I share, because my sponsor used to tell me people who practice the principles know what you're doing when you put your hand up and tell the truth. And that's what I stand on. You know, I don't care about all the other stuff. And this is what I tell the guys that I sponsor, the men and women that I sponsor. You know, I don't care about all the other rigmarole that goes on. Let's get to the exact nature and just tell the truth. You know, because what I understand today is that I can be honest all day, but can I tell you the truth? See, I can be honest all day with you. You know, I'm an honest guy. I don't steal. But can I tell you the truth about what's going on with me and my emotions? You know, and that's the one thing that has happened for me since being here and going through this process. You know, I just never thought it would be this good. Just never did. You know, in spite of all the stuff that's going on, in spite of how I feel most days, you know, I still make meetings. I still got a home group. I still sponsor people. I still do step work. And I still work the steps with people that I sponsor. And I'm still in service. And I ain't shot dope in almost 17 years, regardless of the noise in my head. Yeah. Regardless of the noise in my head. Because what I understand is that today I understand what the disease is. You know, I used to give into it before I got here and got some information. You know, but today I understand what the disease is. And what I understand today is that the defense I have is coming here and just exposing the fact that I'm a human person. I'm a human being living human experiences, and it's just going to get better. Yeah, that's why I keep coming back. Yeah, thanks.